They can hear me right now. They can hear me? There comes a time in every man's life when he's got to
take a look at himself in the mirror and decide just exactly who he is. Well, I've come to that crossroads, and I've decided Notch is a man. Notch is an athlete. Notch is a lover.
But the most he is, I mean, the thing that
Notch
is the most is a goddamn champion.
Gotta let you know, changes are coming soon. Can't give you details right now. End of the month, though. Status quo is going to get uprooted in August. Make sure you follow me on Twitter. I'll have more of the information coming up. Then we'll give you a hint. We'll involve some more sports gambling. I'll be talking a lot more sports gambling. My Twitter is at Notch17. Another way to get a hold of me here. You can email me, WBN@Notchville.com. A lot to talk about, but not a lot to talk about. You know what I mean? Some interesting stuff. Just going to combine it all together. For old time's sake, something that I helped create when I was doing the show up in St. Cloud. What's old is new again.
And now, here are the headlines.
Speaking of Twitter, at Notch17, by the way. Gotta follow me. The George Zimmerman trial decided it was going to wait until Saturday night to have the verdict come down. I'll be honest with you, I was very concerned about the timing of the not guilty verdict coming down. I will admit, pleasantly surprised. Looks like Oakland, the only city with any real issues going on, I'd like to praise everybody for that. So whatever you think about the case, whatever you think about the people involved in the case personally, rioting, violence, not the answer. Most major cities, just the same old crap all on a Saturday night. I mean, you can have crime no matter what, but it's nice to see, even though I work in the media, it's still nice to see nothing overly newsworthy going on. And of course, when I was on Twitter last night, Josh Scobie, kicker for the Jacksonville Jaguars, said it best when he tweeted at 10:16 p.m. last night, "Dear pro athletes, stay off Twitter regarding this verdict. Sincerely, you're welcome." Josh Scobie had it right. Some players should have heeded that advice. Roddy White should have heeded that advice. He told the jurors that they should go home tonight and kill themselves for letting a grown man get away with killing a kid. He actually tweeted that. Has not deleted it as of yet. Some players, voice of reason. A lot of guys compared it to Michael Vick getting a couple years in jail for the dog killing ring, which involved more than just killing dogs, by the way. But his brother Marcus was on Twitter last night just going nuts, absolutely going nuts. And also the Plaxico Burress incident. Remember he was in the nightclub where he shot himself in the leg? He was trying to pull his gun out of his sweatpants, out of the band of his sweatpants, ended up shooting himself in the thigh, a couple years in jail for that. He didn't get arrested for the fashion violation of wearing sweatpants to a nightclub. But still, a lot of athletes were upset. But I mean, let's be honest, more or less, they didn't tweet anything. It was really any different than a lot of other people were tweeting. Some people were saying good things. Some people were saying idiotic things. Just because they're an athlete, they have a little Twitter validated checkmark by their name. It doesn't somehow make what they're saying more credible or less credible. I mean, just because they're famous, it doesn't automatically mean that what they're tweeting is more insightful than what some regular person might be saying, for instance. Dwayne Wade, stunned, saddened as a father, doesn't know what he's going to tell his kids about it. Why don't you tell him that violence isn't the answer, Dwayne? Why don't you tell him that politeness is not considered a weakness? Because that's the crux of the whole George Zimmerman case, is you had two people that figured politeness was a form of weakness. Zimmerman was completely incapable of identifying himself and saying, "Hey, what are you doing here? I'm Neighborhood Watch." Trayvon Martin, completely incapable of saying, "Hey, my dad lives here." Just simple communication like that could have ended it there. This wouldn't have happened. Trayvon didn't have to die. Shouldn't have died. Things escalate because of little things. Little things start stuff. Little things end stuff, too. I mean, all it takes is a little social skills, little civility. Something completely lacking in our society nowadays, unfortunately. And at some point, both of them thought violence was an answer. Was the answer. Didn't work. It was tragic. It was awful. There are no winners in this. Maybe you should tell your kids that, Dwayne. That's actually what I'm going to tell my kids. Some things aren't worth fighting over. Especially with social media. People feel emboldened to pick fights, to start stuff. Reality TV, you need the drama. You don't always need drama. You don't always need to fight. Part of why there's such a disconnect with just everyday interaction with random people. Some things, just let it go. That's what I'm going to tell my kids, Dwayne. You want to try it with yours, too. You don't have to put on this facade of toughness. Like I'm always talking about in sports, how there's fake toughness. Same applies to life. You don't have to have fake toughness all the time. Because then something happens, and the way that fake toughness gets you. Tell your kids that violence is not the answer, and politeness is not a weakness. I'll say this about being a parent. One of the things that's toughest about being a parent is if you want your kids to live a better life than you have, you have to deprogram out of them your bad habits, your weaknesses, the things you don't want them to be if you really want them to live a better life than you. Because everybody talks about, I have three boys, and I'm always bragging about, oh, Ryan's just like his dad. Well, sometimes being like his dad isn't the best thing for him. And it's up to me to get that out of him if I want his life to be better. If you want your kid's life to be better, you can't teach them to do the same dumb crap that you did, that you do. If we want a more peaceful society, how is it beneficial telling them to put up walls and put up the front and the fake toughness? How's that making the world better? People with the, what am I going to tell my kids? Tell them to be better than you. It's like when Eric or Jamie says, I want to be just like you, Dad. I correct him right away. I tell him, I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be better than me. I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. It's not easy, but that's how we solve problems. I will admit, for someone that's a big sports fan like I am, I don't follow any athletes on Twitter. I really don't follow many famous people on Twitter. I used to follow a lot of players. I used to follow Kevin Love. Thing is, though, he pissed me off with the whole knuckle push-ups thing, so I stopped following him, also in part because they were talking about trading him. See, why don't I follow athletes? You're rooting for laundry. I'm one of those guys that thinks that you're mainly rooting for laundry. So a lot of times, it's really good to not get too attached emotionally to specific players. Another reason I don't follow athletes anymore on Twitter is they don't follow back. Celebrities, they don't follow back. I'm kind of weird about my Twitter feed. I figure if I'm following somebody that has similar interests to me, there's actually no legitimate reason not to follow you back. Like if a Vikings fan follows me, if a radio person follows me, I'm going to follow them back. If nothing else is a courtesy. Famous people don't follow you back. Famous people are also really good at having really, really lame tweets. I mean, really lame. When they're not being self-promotional, by the way, I'm going to be tweeting about this podcast segment on my Twitter feed. Just so you know, I have my hypocrite pants on. But when famous players aren't being self-promotional, blatantly self-promotional, they still have a lot to say on Twitter. They have these conversations with people. And you know, like when you reply to somebody, it has the account name, the Twitter handle of the person you're writing to, and they'll have something like thanks after it. What the hell good is that? Tweets like that are annoying. You're not getting anything really that insightful. I just say it, some athletes, it's depressing how semi-literate they seem when you read their tweets. Spelling, punctuation, they're using internet abbreviations all over the place. You can barely read it. I'm not like OCD or anything, but I will admit I am kind of anal about my tweets, that if there's like a typo or misspelled word in it, I'll delete the tweet and redo it just so it's correct. It's all about how you present yourself. If you're a multimillionaire, college-educated professional athlete, why are you presenting yourself as a 14-year-old high school kid who has to go to summer school for remedial English? Why would you present that image of yourself? Some of these guys do. Doesn't make you look cool. That's not just for athletes. That's for everybody. A pro athlete will make sure they have like on a $1,000 suit when they go out because they don't want to present themselves poorly, but then they're going to send out a tweet and it takes you 5 minutes to read it because you have to decipher it. I'm not interested in tweets like that on my timeline. So many lame tweets. And I look at it this way. Anytime an athlete like Chris Cluey, who at times has quite a bit to say, cost him his job with the Vikings. Most athletes, I follow enough people on Twitter that if an athlete's going to say something interesting, I'll get a dozen retweets of it anyway. So I'm not missing the good stuff. Or I'll do what I did this morning. I'll go to Deadspin. Somebody tweets something embarrassing. Funny/embarrassing. Roddy White talking about how the jury should kill themselves. Regrettable stuff that gets deleted usually later on. Deadspin usually has a bunch of good ones. James Harrison, ESPN had an article about athletes react to George Zimmerman's not guilty verdict. James Harrison, now Cincinnati Bengal, tweets, think I'll go pick a fight and get my ass kicked and pull my gun and kill somebody and see if I can get away. I don't need to follow athletes for stuff like this because this stuff gets out anyway. So I can read plenty of athletes' tweets. @Notch17 is mine. I'll have some shameless self-promo on there about the Sports Spectacular. But then otherwise, I like to think I'm being insightful. I'll give you a good show. Let's just leave it at that. Give me a try, and I'll follow you back. Some people are weird about that. I'm weird about that. One of my favorite players that isn't on my favorite team had a really good night last night.
Giants fans, and there's a bunch here standing, all cheering. Here's the 2-2 pitch to Alonso. Swinging a drive into left center field. Blanco waiting. He puts it away, and that's a no-hitter for Tim Lincecum. And now all of his teammates out onto the field, right behind the mound, as they are mobbing Tim Lincecum, as he has thrown a no-hitter here in San Diego.
Dwayne Kuiper, one of the best play-by-play guys in the bigs on KNBR Radio, San Francisco. Tim Lincecum bailing out my 11th place fantasy baseball team. 13 strikeouts, the first no-hitter of his career. Congratulations, Timmy. Yeah, I've been a Tim Lincecum fan for a long time. Kind of bummed when he cut his hair. Kind of liked him with the floppy hair. He kind of looks like my best friend from college, who's still my best friend today. It's funny because he's an Oakland A's fan, so he's not really happy with the comparison of that other team, the National League team, in the fancy city across the bay. He doesn't like the Giants. I still dish it out, though. Got to. It's good to see him starting to turn it around. Timmy's been struggling for about a year and a half. People have been talking about him going to the bullpen for the Giants, mainly as a punishment. Mainly as a can't hack it as a starter anymore kind of thing. Personally, I could see him going to the bullpen if he was going to do a John Smoltz kind of thing, like they did in Atlanta. If the Giants wanted to make Lincecum the closer, he could solidify their bullpen that way. No offense to Romo or Casilla. I'm kind of concerned. 148 pitches on that no-hitter. Because I'm going to give you two names. Edwin Jackson wins with the Rays through 149-pitch no-hitter. And Johan Santana threw 140-pitch no-hitter. And I know both those guys struggled after that one spectacular headline-grabbing game because of the pitch count. I'm not going to get on the pitch count bandwagon, though. I'm not. I think it's overrated. I think pitch counts are overrated. But when you extend a guy out that far, that's the concern. Johan had to shut it down. It's actually 134 pitches in his no-hitter. But still, my point is, when you exceed your regular workload by that much in one game, could be leading to a career-ending injury for Johan. There's enough anecdotal evidence about pitchers having arm issues moving forward that it's just something to watch for with Timmy. People are going to be monitoring him really close. It's going to be a lot of pressure on him to follow up. But once again, it's great. Big time Timmy Jim made some history last night. You know who's not going to make history? Last week on the Sports Spectacular, I brought up a name, Tanner Scheppers. If you didn't Google his name last week, you got to Google it now. Tanner Scheppers is a middle reliever for the Texas Rangers. And Jim Leland, in his infinite wisdom, decided that he needed to bolster the American League All-Star bullpen, made his final vote, the five players in his final vote, all bullpen guys. A couple of them were actual name players that you've heard of before. And I endorse Tanner Scheppers as the guy that you should vote for the 25th spot on the American League All-Star team. Because you want to have, in Bud Selig's Major League Baseball, you want to have home field advantage in the World Series decided on a pitch by a guy that I, as a longtime sports fan, hardcore sports fan, have never heard of. Well, I'm pleased to announce that Steve Delabar of Toronto won the American League final vote, and Tanner Scheppers finished in fifth place. I'd like to apologize to Tanner for endorsing him. I'd like to apologize if you had a hard time buying any ginger ale this week, because maybe after the name Tanner Scheppers got out on the Sports Spectacular, you couldn't find any ginger ale at your stores. They're all sold out. I know people don't listen to me. He's not the kind of guy you're going to get in the game otherwise. Like in the National League, Yasiel Puig finished second in the vote. Freddie Freeman won the National League final vote. But everybody's saying that Yasiel Puig is going to end up in the All-Star game anyway. His guys drop like flies. You Darvish. I woke up one day, like Thursday, checking my 11th place fantasy baseball team. And all of a sudden, you Darvish has a DL next to his name. Tweaked his back a little bit, and they figure he's only really going to miss one start. So if you have Yu Darvish on your fantasy team, if you're a Texas Ranger fan, or if like me, you're a Yu Darvish fan in general, that's why I drafted him. I think he's a stud. He's really only going to miss one start. They're manipulating the All-Star break for the 15-day DL. One real start, not counting the All-Star game appearance. So they got to find somebody to fill that spot. Another player just announced, Jeff Locke of the Pirates. You know, the Pirates are having a good year. Jeff Locke came out of nowhere to make the All-Star team, and now he's getting shut down. Felt some discomfort during his Tuesday night start against Oakland. This is the time, by the way, that if you feel like you got to shut somebody down, do it now. Give him some extended rest. Jeff Locke, after his Tuesday start, his back tightens up. It hasn't happened before, he said. That's why I'm speechless. I've never had anything pop up like this. He won't pitch in the All-Star game. They're going to have to find someone else. That's probably a sub-weak spot, or they'll find a pitcher. Like I said before about the All-Star game, everybody gripes about the rosters when they're announced, but there's so many changes that are made. Guys that are snubbed, they're like the alternates. They're the ones that get the call. When Jeff Locke's back tightens up and he's never had anything pop up like this, he's still going to get his All-Star bonus based on his contract. He's still going to get to show up, tip his cap. Just doesn't get to pitch in the game. I don't think that means as much. He's still going to be able to take pictures with everybody, bring his little cell phone video camera. Locke not scheduled to miss a start, though. They're saying he will be making his next start Sunday the 21st, so no DL stint for him. But he's not available playing the All-Star. I told you they do this with guys. The Pirates have every reason to be cautious. They'd much rather make the playoffs. They'd much rather have a season where they finish over 500 than Jeff Locke pitching an inning or two in the All-Star game. Big picture. Got to think big picture. Especially if you're the Pirates and you haven't won anything in forever. That Pittsburgh-Oakland series, by the way, I would love it if that was a preview of the World Series this year. I'd love that. I'd love a Pittsburgh-Oakland World Series. And finally, we're going to go back to San Francisco. KTVU Channel 2, Fox affiliate. Actually, not a bad station. I'd like to thank them for the latest installment of Adventures in Broadcasting.
Also on the plane crash, KTVU has just learned the names of the four pilots who were on board the flight. They are Captain Sum Ting Wong, Wee Tu Lo, Ho Li Fook, and Bang Ding Ao. The NTSB has confirmed these are the names of the pilots on board Flight 214 when it crashed. We are working to determine exactly what roles each of them played during the landing on Saturday.
As someone that's worked in media over half their life, like I have, before I did radio, I was a sports writer. I've also worked behind the scenes at local TV news. Just hard to believe. And Wee Tu Lo. Shout out to Rhonda Burgundy. She'll read anything on the teleprompter. I guess. Check your sources, peeps. Thanks for listening. Tweet me, Notch17. Email WBN@Notchville.com. Love to hear from you. Go enjoy the day. Go American League. Go Michael Kodaira in the Home Run Derby. There's no twin in it, but Kodaira should still be a twin. Never should have let him go. He's a good guy. He's wearing number 3 for the Rockies because of Harmon Killebrew. Gotta respect that. Twist that knife, Mike.